And so, but anyway, so it's not as easy as it seems. The other thing is that if we've really worked hard not to make personnel cuts, that's why we were able to fulfill what we committed to with the PPP loan. We held out miraculously long before we could get that PPP loan. my hope was always that we could last long enough to get a second bite of an upcoming PPP loan should that occur. But in the interim, we obviously have to be realistic and cut expenses wherever we can. And it's urgent because it's unsustainable for us to be covering these shortfalls, not to mention other things, right, that keep coming up.
Thank you, Lydia. We're almost at time for this item. And Lydia, we didn't include time for a report from you because I had, you know, we had talked earlier and I thought you might not be here. If you wish, after we're done with this item, if you wish to suggest amending the agenda at this point,
I weaved in my comments.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Very effectively. I appreciate
that's
that.
That's about it for now.
Okay. Is there anybody else who has a last comment unless you want to extend? We're now at time for this item. And let me just say, we also have, we've liberally gone back and forth between different issues here. Our next item is the central services formula for 30 minutes. I assume some of our previous conversation has spilled over into that discussion, and so we may be able to continue with the general discussion. Is anybody else with any final comments? Or Anita, do you have any final comment?
I don't have any, sir.
Okay. And not hearing from anyone else, let's move on to the central services formula.
If you look at one of the second documents that I have provided earlier today, is one is the historical information of how the computation was based on the way we understood it, beginning from 2013 to current. So if you look on line 12, if you will, column J, the $1,386,908 is really the current dollar amount, if you will, of the allocation of the central services currently. FY20 is really FY21. And the bottom half, beginning in 16, is the same numbers that really are in the budget to support. Actually, I found an error in the formula. So if you add the $1,191,000 plus the $48,000 from the affiliate, really brings us to that number that's in the budget of $1,200,000. Again, we spend time and we're still using the 15%, but we were hoping to, quite frankly, it's reduced because the listener support revenue that we took obviously is less than in previous years. So we're really looking at about $194,000 less in central services divided by the different stations, of course. Any questions?
Chris Corey for the stack.
Go ahead, Chris.
Okay. So I sent out a document earlier tonight suggesting that we use a formula that's based on 6 months rolling revenues, adjusted every 6 months. That formula would result in a much different breakdown of central services for the individual stations. In most cases, it would result in an increase of central services for the individual stations because, as Anita just pointed out, because revenues have fallen since 2015, this leaves the national office in shortfall. I think if you add that $1,098,000 into the anticipated revenues, which don't include the sideband revenues anymore, or there was another item that got taken out. I'm getting getting a little drowsy here. But if I think what you'll find is that that there's no way the National Office would be self-sustaining at this at the old allocated revenue level. So I made a revision to Anita's document, and I'll send that around in a minute here. But just based on the formulas that I suggested, and added it to a column to the, I guess, to the right of the portion of the page that she was just referring to there. It doesn't give percentages, but it gives dollar amounts. So I'm sure that everyone will be confused by it because it's a confusing discussion, but I'd be happy to explain it after I send it out. So I'll do that right now. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris, for that. I really appreciate that input.
Anita, while Chris is doing that, I had a question. You mentioned $194,000. It was different. I was distracted. I didn't get what you were commenting on. What was that again?
If you take, it's labeled 2015 listener support, the grand total of $1,386,908. That's really the amount for the central services dollar amount, if it were paid, obviously. You see that dollar amount in the listener support?
How much is it again? 190? I thought I heard 194. What's the number?
Yes. 194,967 is the difference between that $1,386,000 and 1,191,941. I think what I added was also the $48,000 from the affiliate, if you will.
Okay.
So,
can we hear what lines these things are in?
Yes, be happy to. The $1,386,000 is on line 12J column. And the difference of the 194 is that less line 22, column D. Is 194,967 less than the dollar amount of central services. If we continue with the same formula, it's really what I'm saying.
This is Paulina with a question.
Go ahead, Paulina.
Anita, your column K line 12, which would be the monthly budget, right? 115,576. Is that based on the expected listener support, central services formula, plus whatever else the national office is projecting? Or how are you basing that? What are you basing that number on? Listener support? Monthly?
Yes, listener support only, correct.
Okay. So basically on the current central services formula.
Right.
Okay.
It would be the $115,576 a month.
Mm-hmm. And if you... Which is... Yeah, go ahead, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and if you go to line 22, the total... The $1,191,941 on column D is actually on a monthly basis, then $99,326.
Okay. I spoke over you. Go ahead.
That's all right. I was through. So I was just comparing the monthly income that would come in if the stations were able to pay the national office.
Right. So based on if the stations were able to pay central services, this would be literally what would be coming in. Yeah. You're not basing it on the actual necessarily the needs of whatever the national office may have. Okay. A quick question. I don't know who may be able to answer that. What's the historical reason for WBAI to have 8% of their... average listener support being taken as the base, you know, the base for, well, I mean, we're basing it all on listener support, and so it's 15% for everybody except for BAI. Can somebody just update me?
Chris Corey for the stack.
Yeah, I'm going to recognize our Paul for that, if you don't mind, Chris, and then you can go after.
Not at all.
Okay.
I heard you both at the same time.
Okay, this was worked out some years ago because of the crippling increase in the Empire State Building tower expense. If there's a whole formula in the lease that was signed in 2005, and it escalates rather seriously. And when you add in the way Manhattan real estate shoves in extras, you know, it's sort of like compound interest suddenly shows up. And so because it was so making it impossible for BAI to pay both the tower rent and anything in central services, BAI got its central services reduced to that 8%.
Great, thank you. I just needed it for myself. I wasn't I didn't have it just on the top of my mind, but that makes sense. Thank you.
I'm just going to add a little touch of information for that. The WBAI tower rent was escalating. I think it was up to $55,000 a month, and it was going to go to $60,000 a month before we negotiated our way out of that agreement. So it was just an extremely high. It was, again, the contract negotiated in 2005 had escalating clauses for that tower rent, and it sure escalated. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I think just briefly summarizing what both of you said, crippling overhead would be the reason. So there are other stations that have crippling overhead, by the way. So this is a criterion that would extend beyond WBAI, but that was the reason given and used to make that decision.
Thank you for the explanation. That's what I imagined that had to do with the ESRG. Thank you.
Thank you, Paulina. Yes, Teresa, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Teresa? Yes, go ahead.
Can you hear me? Okay. Many years ago, when I first called it to the attention of Dan Coughlin, of what we were paying for our at the Empire State Building. He said something that I thought was very useful. And I still don't quite understand why we have not approached elected officials to request that these places where our transmitters are be required to allocate a space for us to use these towers at a reduced rate. They could allocate some space for these nonprofit nonprofit, non-commercial stations. I don't understand why we should compete with these commercial stations who are making huge amounts of dollars in, you know, for commercial advertising. And I think that we are not properly utilizing some of what we should be entitled to. I mean, the airwaves should belong to the people, and we are competing with commercial businesses, and that's just not right. Thank you.
Thank you, Teresa. Go ahead, Arful.
Okay. Yeah, it's ironic that you had Dan Coughlin talking about that, since he's the one who appears to have played a big role in getting that contract signed. Someone else ended up signing it, but he was right there, right before it, and he must have played a role in that. The other thing is, this is Manhattan real estate. you might look to the White House to see what kind of person you might deal with in Manhattan real estate. And what saying get the elected officials to do this, the real estate industry, especially in Manhattan, sort of has those people in its back pocket. Not in the front pocket, but in the less nice back pocket. And so they are really hot about profit. And they are not charitable institutions, as they will very gladly shout at you.
I agree.
So the deal is, getting the elected officials to do that would be a gigantic deal and probably impossible, because if the elected officials offend these people, they will lose millions of dollars of campaign contributions. So it's very complicated.
I agree.
All right, Teresa.
I think it. May I say something else?
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead.
I agree. But it's like when KPFT discovered that we were paying taxes on our building and none of the other nonprofit radio stations were. They were affiliated with colleges, universities, but they didn't have to. They were not paying taxes, and so it took someone that had been in elected government to figure out what we needed to do, and we did it. So we don't pay taxes on our building.
This is Lydia. Oh, sorry.
I'm going to recognize you, Lydia, in just a moment. I'm sorry, are you done, Teresa?
Yeah.
Were you done, Teresa? Okay.
Yes, I am.
I'm going to recognize you in a second, Lydia. I just want to say we're 5 minutes away from our time certain on this item, and we really need to have, I just want to say we really need to have this central services formula, and it's, you know, getting to the point where I'm almost ready to say we should punt and just get a formula so that we can use that as the basis for our budgets. Again, underlining the importance of the budgets in extending, renegotiating, whatever we're going to try and do with the big loan that's looming. That's why it's especially important this year, for the first time in many years, that we get these budgets done. So we have to stop having, you know, even though this is good, valuable discussion on the historical nature of a lot of this stuff, we need to get something in place so that we can have these budgets in a timely way. So having said that, go ahead, Lydia. Thank you for waiting.
Yeah, so historically, and I've been around since the 80s, that when the national office was able to maintain itself, support itself, and help others if necessary, but really it's just to maintain the operation, we were at 17%. That's just a point of reference. Not to speak to Chris's motion, which may be appropriate at this time. I think we always have to be flexible. And if this is the formula for the moment, then so be it. We do need to move forward with the budget. However, I agree with Teresa 100%. Just so you know, we would still be and would have lost the EIDL loan completely had we not had the assistance of Kamala Harris's office and the ability to appeal for the rest of the money. But anyway, go ahead.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Can I point out very fast?
Yes.
WBAI used to own a building, and it got moved out of that because of property taxes that weren't paid. So, yeah, Manhattan real estate is an interesting thing.
Indeed it is. I'm just going to comment that we still have a crushing overhead for our tower rent and our office rent. And it'll be interesting to see, with our diminished listener support, where our new central services amounts that are due on a monthly basis from all the stations is going to be, depending on what percentage. I mean, if we were going to keep the same amount going to the national office through central services, we'd have to increase the percentage by a lot. And we're actually talking about reducing the percentage because we have at least two stations, probably three now, that can't pay, and even though one has historically paid, despite its hardship on it. Yeah. That's okay. So, anybody else on this issue?
Well, Teresa, can you hear me?
Yes, Teresa, go ahead.
Well, I think that we could, well, we should find people, whether the GMs or the business managers or whether it be someone at the national office that is creative. Yes, commercial realtors are cutthroat, and yes, we have been taken advantage of. Sometimes we were not smart, and sometimes we were maybe even incompetent. And we lost. We lost buildings. We've lost lots of things because we didn't stay on top of it. And, of course, it is not unrealistic that commercial people would try to take advantage of us if possible. They consider that their job. I beg us to be creative and find people who can help us, chart a path through these waters, people that are smart. And I appreciate people like Chris Corey and others that have some understanding of some of these, some of the people that we can approach, and Netta. So that's enough. Thank you for letting me vent.
Thank you. Are you done, Teresa?
The stack.
Yeah, for now.
Yeah, Chris, I'm going to recognize you in a second. I'm just going to ask a question of the committee, and in the past I've asked a similar question, and it was not smiled upon, but we seem to get bogged down in these conversations, which, again, are very interesting and historically informative, but we need to come up with a central services formula. I'm wondering if there's any sentiment for breaking this out into a subcommittee that could do more work in between our meetings and maybe come up with something that we could all hopefully agree on, get a representative subcommittee. I don't know if anybody has any interest in that or any comment on that.
This is Lydia.
Go ahead, Lydia.
Yeah, I'm not sure that would be all that useful, but I think all of us need to look at Chris's formula, at least take it, at least consider it and come in with an opinion. I get the sense that people aren't terribly familiar with it. And I think if you have any questions, email Chris, and Chris, you would be happy to respond, right? And explain further for anyone that doesn't understand the concept.
Of course.
Thank you. That would be my recommendation.
I'm going to...
Sometimes these things require a one-on-one explanation and not necessarily a committee, but and then vote on it at the latest, obviously, at the next meeting. Thank you.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Lee. Now, I think I heard Dwayne, and I heard someone
Fred.
Else. Was it Chris?
Fred.
Yeah.
Okay, let me go to Dwayne first, if you don't mind, Fred, and then I'll go to you.
Go to Fred first.
James, I was also on the stack.
Okay, I hear Dwayne saying go to Fred.
Yeah.
Did I hear that? Thank you. Go ahead, Fred.
Yeah.
Fred.
I'm totally in favor of going to a new central services formula, and I think we're close with the calculations that that Nita and it has presented to us in the spreadsheet. It's really not fair for us to be using a five. And if you look at the historical spreadsheet that shows the calculations for the central services we're currently paying, it's almost 10 years old. It's not fair to be using something that out of date. That's all I'm saying is we should go to the new formula as soon as possible. Thank you.
Clearly. Thank you, Fred. I'm going to make an alternative suggestion, and that is should we possibly schedule an extra meeting so that we could go into this in detail? Or are we happy waiting for another 2 weeks to do that?
Given the holidays, I think wait for another 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's difficult. We have so many meetings, it's difficult to schedule an extra meeting. Was that our Paul, did I hear? I thought I heard someone.
No, that was Lydia.
That was Lydia.
Okay. Oh, yeah. No, I did hear Lydia.
The non-meeting,
Dwayne, did you want to make,
non-meeting
person,
yeah.
Yeah. Dwayne, did you want to go ahead with your comment, or were you happy?
No, I'm based on what Fred said, I can be briefer. Great minds think alike. Obviously, I think it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that we need to go a different direction. I do not agree that we need to have a subcommittee or that we need to go week to week. I think what we need to do is, earlier suggested, read the proposal that Chris has put forth, make notes as to what you may have issues with. Obviously, if you don't have issues with that part, then you agree to it. And then when we come back, we either pass it, adjust it, or do away with it. But if you're going to do away with it, I know if I'm going to do away with it, I will have an alternative to offer. Those are my comments.
Thank you.
Chris for the stack.
Okay, Chris, I'm going to tell you that we are now over time for this item. Could you make
like
an
extend?
Thank you.
Yeah, 5 minutes.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, let's extend for five. Go ahead, Chris.
Thank you very much, James. So, yeah, I've been playing around with these numbers for, gosh, I don't know what it is now, 9 months now, I think. And I think that we've had a lot of discussions about this issue, but it might help everyone, especially the newer members of the committee, if I produced something more of a narrative associated with the spreadsheet that I sent, because it is a little confusing to look at. So I'll put that together over the next day or two here. And then please, if you have any feedback, send it along. For example, I opted for $1.44 million a year in revenue, which is considerably above the $1.1 million that is on Anita's proposal, which, as I say, I think would produce at least a $200,000 shortfall. It's also a little bit larger, almost 10% larger than the current formula, which might not be advisable in this situation that we find ourselves in. If the national office feels that it can live with the existing amount of revenue that it's getting through central services, should that be 100% fulfilled by the stations, then we should probably just stick with that amount rather than adjusting it. So I'll have, I'd like Anita to respond to that particular part of it. And then, like I say, I'd be happy to provide a narrative for the formulas that I'm suggesting. And I should once again point out that these suggestions were arrived at by committee, not by me individually. It was, I relied heavily on everybody's opinion on how this should be done. We decided that it should be done on the basis of revenue. We decided to shorten the amount of the term of the revenue look back period so that it made quicker adjustments during this somewhat dynamic period of our existence here at Pacifica, et cetera, et cetera. So this was arrived at by a committee, although it was over a very long period of time with discussions that were separated by very long periods. So, thank you. Other than that one question of Anita, I'm done. Thank you.
I'm going to ask Anita, before you go ahead, I want to ask you a question, Chris, if I may. I seem to recall that in one of our previous meetings, you were leaning towards not doing a 6-month review, which I think is better myself, especially as you say, in these dynamic times. You were leaning towards a year because it was too much, to try and readjust it every 6 months. What changed your thinking? Was it the times?
I'm not sure that I ever reached that conclusion. I think the reasoning, though, James, it's been a while since we had this discussion, but I think that what I was considering was that adjusting it every 6 months would be more of a hassle, just from a bookkeeping standpoint. So the 1 year that probably was what prompted the. Okay. Yeah. So, and it also wouldn't follow the I guess you could call it tradition at this point, associated with the interest formula, which is also an annual renewal. So they could follow the same exact schedule, which I think would be a little bit more logical.
Good. Thank you, Chris. Let's go to Anita. And Anita, if you would put in any additional comments that you might have besides answering Chris's question.
Absolutely. Actually, my reasoning behind what we were doing really is because I know the stations are struggling. They are so far behind on central services now. And actually, I have not seen any current activity or payments, if you will. Hence the reasoning, Chris, that you saw one of the notes that we actually did the current October financials on a cash basis as opposed to accrual. The only reason is because then it does stand out if, in fact, it's been paid or not. Again, we could do them by accrual basis. But going back to central services, so my intention was really to help these stations get budgets, get moving, move forward, because we're already, into November without a current budget. And also the only way to get started from my perspective is really for everyone to see the national office budget, if you will. I agree with you, it is very lean, but I'm not sure that currently the way the state of the stations, that they can pay even the current fees. So in my mind, I was really reducing it by $200,000 to see if that soften the blow, if you will, even if it was for a short time, I'm assuming a year or 2 years. Again, I had not thrown that out or discussed that with James, but it was an alternative, if you will. And that's all I had. Thank you.
Thank you, Anita.
James, I comment, but I think we've run out of time again, so I'm just going to I'll comment in writing if you would prefer.
Could I have a unanimous consent for Chris to make an additional comment? Hearing no objection, go ahead, Chris.
Okay. So, that's interesting, Anita, and I really appreciate that. I'm a little bit there's something that I think troubles everybody here at Pacifica about being asked to pay something that they don't feel that they can commit to. And I think this comes from this sense of obligation that we have in our private lives, that, you know, if you commit yourself to paying a rent payment, for example, and you can't make it, then you there's some punitive action that takes place that's associated with that. You get evicted, or you get accrual, you get your interest, or you get your rent payment accrued. I think that Pacifica needs to view things a little bit differently than that, that, you know, organizationally, there's a certain amount of revenue that the national office needs. And if certain stations can pay that and other stations can't pay that, then we have to figure out a way to negotiate or to navigate around that problem. But simply not asking the stations to pay that doesn't solve the problem for the national office. Because all that would do is obligate other stations to pay even more than we have normally asked them to pay. I think actually the accrual method is the sanest way to approach it. In other words, if a station simply can't afford to pay the payment, then they skip it until something marvelous happens, like a bequest, and then they can make good on those payments. And that's been the historical practice, and I know that it bugs people. I know that it bugs KPFA people, particularly when other stations can't pay their central services formula or central services payment, and probably KPFT as well, because they both pay them fairly religiously. But it doesn't absolve problem. It doesn't resolve the problem. And so the problem is going to continue existing no matter whether we take people off the hook or whether we obligate them. But I think it's important to remember that the misfortunes of certain stations change over time to fortunes. I would point to WPFW in particular, who's had years that it was quite successful and gainful in its operations and able to meet all of its obligations, and then other years where it suffered and had much more difficulty and been unable to do so. And I think that if you're creating a formula that only takes into account the worst-case scenarios, you're always going to end up in shortfall at the national office. That's my impression of it anyway. And so I think that we should just stick with the formulas, and the stations that can meet those obligations can meet them, and the stations that can't. But if we reduce it to such a level that the national office can't even survive during good times, then I think we're in for a big road of a big path of trouble for the organization. So this is a really hard idea to articulate, and I've been trying to figure out how to say this for a long time, but I hope I presented it well enough for it to be understood. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Okay, we just have a few minutes left unless we extend. So I'd like to move on quickly to this next question of deposit transparency. We already heard a little bit about it previously in the meeting, but Anita, could you, what I was hoping was, I thought we'd have more time. I was hoping that we could get some language together for a motion that we could send to the PNB. Anita, could you just give us, perhaps we'll have to do that next time. Could you give us a synopsis of your thinking on that question of the deposit transparency? I think you really already did, but.
But I'll do it again. In our discussion, I'm talking about staff on the NETA side, and these are the folks that work on your behalf. It dawned on us that we would hopefully be able to capture things that are miscoded if we could see them. And the fact that it remains that we do not get to see deposits on a daily or weekly basis. So we'd like just for them to scan it, take a picture of it or what have you, and send it to us. Be happy to help carve either the process or the motion, if you will, that share our thoughts on it. But essentially all it is the copy of the deposit. We don't know what they look like. We also would like to at least look at the membership, look at the revenue and the listener support, just to tie that to the cash that's being received. Again, a standard practice that we do with some of our other clients. Again, and as we move forward, obviously look at some of the Allegiance reports, if available at a station.
And Anita, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that was bad.
Anita, this is not only important to make sure that income that comes in is not miscategorized, but I think there's also an element of the in a time where we're having cash flow difficulties and payroll issues, it's important so you can, you know, respond quickly. If we're at the dreaded word that we've heard, tipping point, we need to know as soon as possible. We need to be right on top of where the money is and where it's supposed to be. We can't be you know, dawdling around trying to make sure everything was allocated properly if we come to a time where we need to make a quick move.
Correct.
Is that right?
Yes. And with that in mind, though, at some point we'd need a copy of the aging. In other words, whatever is outstanding from the stations, a vendor listing, if you will, of the payables would be, we've looked in Great Plains. We don't see a subsidiary for some of them. But, again, that's a second, third part to this whole equation. But for now, I think we'd be very happy if we could see the deposits.
It sounds pretty simple. Do you think we could put together language for that right now? Or do you think,
yes,
will we? Okay, is the committee willing to extend so that we can try and do that?
No, absolutely not. Okay, we're already at 7:20. We've already over time. And this will take an hour. No, I object.
Yeah, I need to get off the call. This is Lydia. Sorry.
We can do it next time.
I've
heard
like
one objection. I'd like to hear further.
I would like
somebody's
to do
trying
it
to speak.
Nancy, I would like to do it now.
Hi, Nancy.
Lisa, I wouldn't mind doing it now, or at the end of the meeting, if other people want to leave, I wouldn't mind staying on to do it. Or,
well, we need the committee to approve it if we're going to move ahead with it.
Point of information. I thought the meeting adjourns at 7:15. I thought the meeting adjourns at 7:15 or whatever it is, 10:15 your time. So we're adjourned. We can't just be extending like we did last time endlessly. That's not why we have a time certain for ending. Adjourn
right,
no later than 10:15 p.m.
We also have the ability to conduct important business, but I take your point. 10:15 was
the
time certain.
Nancy, Chair, I move that
go
we
ahead,
extend.
Nancy.
Yeah, I move that we extend 20 minutes to craft this motion.
I'll
vote on it.
Is there any objection to that? Parliamentary or otherwise.
Yes, I object.
I want to amend that.
Go ahead, R. Paul.
And to approve the minutes. That'll take 1 minute or less.
Okay. All right. Any further discussion? Is there any opposition?
This is Sharon for the discussion.
Okay, go ahead, Sharon. Go ahead.
I do believe we should take at least 15 minutes to discuss whether or not we should extend time. And then we should all pointlessly talk about things over and over and over, just like we did last time. And Nancy wasn't even at the meeting. And then we just passed a motion that, like, didn't even make sense in the end because we passed a motion that was requiring LSBs to do something within 2 weeks when, as it was pointed out, the LSBs were not meeting within the next 2 weeks. So, therefore, the motion was not fully thought out, took a lot of extra time, and really wasn't that good. Why don't we just do it in 2 weeks when we can have the language up front, worked out, and just pass it in a motion that makes sense?
Mr. Chair,
Nancy,
point of order.
I don't think we can debate.
Oh, hold on 1 second, everybody. I just want to get this right. Hold on a minute.
I'd like to motivate.
Please hold on. I need to get the list of people who asked for time to speak.
Point of order, Mr. Chair.
Point of order. I guess that takes precedence.
Go
ahead,
Arthur. There is a motion on the floor to extend. It is not debatable.
Well, thank you.
It's debated.
Thank you. It's not debatable, I guess. Okay. So,
better debate it.
This is true. I gather that, but. Nancy, can you save your question until we have the vote on this side?
I just want to know, that pertains to whether or not to extend.
It's not
debatable. Right, but that's discussion. R. Paul just pointed out that it's not a debatable question.
Well, people have been already debating it, so.
Right, but that was in error. We shouldn't have done that.
Well,
so our ball has now made a point of order that it's not debatable.
Well, I think people should be informed that, be pointed out that Anita said she already has the wording to it.
Yes. Thank you. You just made your point.
Thank you. I was going to ask her, but if I recall that.
All right, let's go to the vote. We have a motion as amended. Let's go to the amendment first. Does anybody object to... adding the minutes.
Simply to add approval of the minutes.
Correct. Is there any objection to that? Hearing none. Now we go to the main motion. Is there any objection to extending for 20 minutes and dealing with the minutes? Hearing none.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
How many times do I have to say it?
Well, one more time when I call for it. Thank you.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Got it. Okay. There was an objection, so now we have to go to a vote. R. Paul, can you take the vote?
Yes. Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. The motion is to extend 20 minutes for this motion and to do the minutes. Okay, Sharon Adams.
No.
Teresa J. Allen.
Allen will abstain.
Nick Arena. Fred Blair.
Yes.
Chris Corey.
Yes.
Dwayne Lark.
Yes.
R. Paul Martin. Yes. James Sagerton.
Yes.
Anita Sims.
Yes.
Nancy Sorden.
Yes.
Polina Vasilyev.
Yes.
Okay, is Nick Arena here? Okay, not here. 8-4, one against, one abstention.
Okay, let's put together some language. Well, let's approve
the minutes first. Since that's only going to take 1 minute and there won't be any debate.
Agreed.
I move that we adopt the minutes for the November 10th meeting.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, the minutes are adopted, available for change or adjustments in the future if required.
Mr. Chair? Dwayne,
yes, Dwayne. Go ahead, Dwayne. Dwayne? Dwayne, can you hear me? Can everyone else hear me?
Dwayne just dropped off the call.
Okay, if he comes back, we'll go to him. Now, we had people requesting the stack before, but I think that was to debate the question of whether we should extend. Was there anybody who was requesting time? Was it on this question, or was it on time to extend? Let's go ahead with a new stack.
Well, we don't have a motion. Wasn't there a motion prepared that we're going to hear right away?
No, we're going to try and it's a simple thing. We were going to try and put it together.
I thought you said the interim CFO had the motion. All right.
No, I said she had the language and, she was close because it's very simple.
He did say that, R. Paul. He did say that.
Okay.
This is Nancy. I can type in the language if Anita wants to. Could I repeat that? Or she can type it. And I don't have it all, but let me just start. Whereas for transparency, that all stations would submit their copies of daily deposits or as deposit to NETA.
Slow down.
Sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah, please. Thank you, Anita.
You're welcome.
And Anita, while she's catching up, would this be done with one of your scanners for the Mass 500?
Yes.
Thank you. Maybe we could work language in.
I had to get set up. Whereas for transparency, that all stations
will submit copies of their daily deposits, bank deposits, to NETA for verification or review, whichever y'all prefer. We want to be able to look at them for the GL side of things to see how they're coding. And that's as far as I've gotten.
Okay, so.
Our Paul is doing it, I guess. Okay.
Well, so you're. All right. So just to make absolutely sure, you didn't write any of this in a previous email or anything, right?
No.
Okay, so.
Apologies and thanks, R. Paul.
Whereas. Whereas for transparency...
I just finished writing something up. I'm emailing it, if you like.
Sure.
Thank you. I had already turned off my computer.
And please I'm turning over to our Paul because he's used to doing this.
Okay, I haven't gotten anything in here yet. Sent something, right?
I just sent it, yeah.
Okay.
Let's see if it
will. I think I got it.
There are four things showing up. Everybody's sending something. Okay. I got from Nancy saying you're here, but not...
No, it was after that. So it says, whereas for... it says the topic was central services. I forgot to change the topic line.
Well, I'll just, yeah. When it gets here, it'll... Okay.
I sent it at 10:30.
1 minute ago, so it can take more than a minute for... something's coming in, and I think I've got it. You have, whereas for transparency, resolved that all stations will submit copies of their daily bank deposits to NETA for review.
Or validation.
Yeah, I have it a little bit differently here. All stations will commit their deposits. Oh, my. Okay, let me paste yours in, and we'll have two things. All stations will, I guess, submit their copies of their daily bank deposits to NETA for verification or review.
Yes.
Sharon, for a correction, I believe you want to say scan copies, not submit. Wasn't that what the point was, to have them scanned?
Yes.
What if they brought them by hand? Wouldn't that work, too?
Not likely. Anita, is there a special scanner needed for that, or is it any scanner?
No. Well, the scanner that I think some of the stations have are the ones that we have supplied them, so forth. It comes directly to us. That would be the easiest, quite frankly.
What I have.
Would it be scanned copies then?
Yes. Well, we're saying copy of the deposit.
Yeah, what I have is, whereas for transparency, I guess there needs to be like a comma after that.
So the question.
Okay, just resolved. I don't know,
yeah,
I think it is resolved. I'm getting hung up on the English language. Whereas for transparency, be it resolved that all stations will scan copies of their daily bank deposits to NETA for verification or review.
That's good to me.
So that would be like a copy of a check or a...
Well, When they receive checks at the station, they're filling out a deposit slip. All we want is a copy of that deposit.
This is Polina, if I may.
Go ahead, Polina.
I would suggest that we specify that. Whereas Pacifica seeks transparency, be it resolved that all stations scan their deposit slips, daily deposit slips, and submit those to NETA or something to that effect. I mean, that's all it is, really, right?
Yes.
I have a question about that, Anita. If we're just scanning the deposit slips, then all you're going to get is the number. How are we going to be sure that it's not being miscategorized if we don't have, you know, whatever's on the memo section, or, you know, if there's any additional information that would help us to properly categorize it. In other words, maybe even, you know, if, where it's, well, let me just leave it at that.
Well, Mr. Chair?
Yeah, I'm used to, deposit slips that show that will have either the abbreviated general ledger account number along with the name and the check amount. So, frankly, it should trigger a question from us if, in fact, they're not coding that to a major donor, if it's something over $1,000 or what have you. But it gives us an opportunity to kind of review it. I don't think we're going to catch everything, but certainly it will eliminate, like when WBAI had a gift and the intention was for us to credit this a couple of years ago, which before our time, but it was never caught. I'm just trying to eliminate some of that and also have the opportunity to review them.
All right, but if you don't have the check and the individual who's making the deposit ticket out
right. Either
miscategorizes it or something, you're not going to catch that either, right?
I won't, but frankly, unless the business managers have time to make copies, again, I have no idea for the volume. So, you know, making copies of 30 checks or whatever those are is time-consuming. I think we start out small and allow us to review that much. And hopefully, because it's going to be up to us to turn around and call the business manager for a little bit more information. And maybe then is when we'll say, can you scan me that check?
Well, I think one of the issues was when a check, once a check is deposited, it's been processed, we lose the ability to do that, don't we?
Yes, but they should be making copies of checks anyway.
Well, why?
I'm saying that almost because so many clients, and I think that your station should also be making copies of those checks. And
should we put that language in this motion?
James, I have a suggestion.
Paul for sec?
I heard you, Paul. Let me just get Anita to answer this one last thing. Should we put language about asking them to make copies for the record of the checks?
I mean, we could. I think it's already being done, or at least I hope that is. I don't know that. But we could. Because if we go back to them, we're going to need to see that check. Especially
right, so
if it's a restrictive gift for some, or it would need to see the paperwork also, but also the check to see how.
All right, so I'm
going to
suggest that we keep language, like we put language to that effect into it. Now I'm going to go to the stack. I heard Chris and then Paul, I think. Was that the order,
James,
Chris?
I think so. I think I just barely beat Paul out.
Go ahead.
Sorry, point of personal privilege from Paulina.
Go ahead, Paulina. What's your privilege?
I have to be live on the air in a few minutes.
Oh, my.
And I'm just exhausted and I need to get off. I just want to tell you guys that I vote for yes and I understand completely and that this makes sense. I just have to get off. Otherwise, I won't be able to make my show.
Yeah, unfortunately, we can't take a proxy vote like that.
I know. We have to vote ahead of time. Yeah, well, anyways, hopefully you guys approve this thing and get ready. You know, it makes complete sense. Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you, Paulina.
Okay.
Thank you, Paulina.
Sure, bye.
Okay, go ahead, Chris.
James, sure. I don't think we're going to be able to catch every single loophole with this. I'm not sure that I have any major objection to you putting the language that you're suggesting into the motion. However, I think that maybe suitably detailed deposit or something like that would suffice, and then Anita can close that loophole through review. Or any other loopholes that we're not even imagining right now. Do you understand what I'm saying? I just think that we could spend an hour trying to get exactly the right language here and still miss stuff.
No, I don't think. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. I mean, I understand that you're suggesting that we just make copies of the checks and that'll be sufficient, but I'm not sure that it will be. That's all I'm driving at. So anyway.
No, just to clarify, what I was suggesting is that we have the reports of the deposits as Anita has requested. But in addition, we state in this motion that the stations should be making copies of these checks. Anita is not just saying, yes, we should be doing that, but she's kind of assuming that we probably are doing that because that would be a standard practice that should be followed. So if there is anybody who's not following that, we should give them this reminder.
Understood.
Okay. And then I'll call. Go ahead.
All right. One.
I hear you, Dwayne.
NFC,
after a call.
All right. The NFC does not tell the general managers what to do. So I think here's some language I have right here. The NFC requests that the PNB pass the following motion. In order to promote transparency, it is resolved that all stations will scan copies of their daily bank deposits to NETA for verification or review. I do not think we need to be more specific. What does that mean? Ask NETA. NETA, when this is passed, says, okay, this is what it means. Send us X, Y, and Z. That's it. We don't have to have everything detailed in the motion. NETA tells the general managers, do this. This is what we need. And it's done because the PNB will pass it. Okay? So that's what I have as a sensible sort of motion because, again, we can't tell the general managers what to do. That's it. Thank you.
Okay.
That's
thank you. Our Paul.
Exactly
Dwayne.
What I was trying to say.
Thank you, Chris. Dwayne?
I'm sorry.
Dwayne, can you hear me? Did we lose Dwayne again? Oh, there he is.
I wanted to ask a question.
Go ahead.
I guess the question should be to Anita. Better mind than my own made a suggestion. Do you need just the deposits, or do you need the instruments, or copies of the instruments that were deposits?
Well, see, that's what I'm assuming they're doing currently. So, I mean, I want to see the deposits, especially, we're looking at the dollar amounts. If then we need to reach to the business manager, that would be able to send us a copy of their check.
Well, I guess the larger question would be, if we're doing this for checks and balances, and we're doing this for a second verification, that if you're looking at $14,262, wouldn't it be better if you had the record and that you could reconcile the instruments that were made up of the $14,262, and maybe in the future, if you needed access to a copy of one of the instruments, it would be in your record? I'm just asking.
Would they make the deposit? There's obvious, I think, that they are adding those checks, if it's, four or five or ten or whatever, so then you have a grand total. But we would look to, when we reconcile the bank statement, we would look for that dollar amount that is being deposited. But on a daily basis, what we're looking for is really for the coding of where those dollars are being allocated, if you will. Is it listener support, or is it major donor, or what have you? Because we have missed some dollars that have come in. I mean, they have not been identified. They've been on the wrong bucket. Yeah, I'm talking about extraordinary gifts. This would hopefully eliminate some of that. I have to assume that they are making copies of checks, but I certainly don't know, but this kind of opens the door for us to be able to find out so many more things about how things are going.
Well, you answered my question. I was making an offer for more clarity as to what you needed, but I'm fine with it if you're fine with it.
Thank you.
May I ask a question?
Go ahead.
Has anyone on this call asked you who's not cooperating with this? You're in charge. giving us information, what information you can. We're trying to make headway on this committee. I really would like to know, since this is so useful to you, why you're not already getting it from the business managers. Are you saying that they're insubordinate? Or
no.
They don't understand how to do it? I don't understand why you're not getting what you need to get.
Well, I mean, actually, we've not asked for backup of deposits before. So I can't tell you that they have not been helpful because we have not asked. Now, I think one of the things that NETA needs to come out with, if the committee agrees, is a timing for month-end close, because invariably we're waiting for them to get in information that should already be there in order for us to be able to pull the statements to do a consolidated report. So it's not always been a marriage made in heaven, but we're working through it. But I think it's obviously in some of the processes and procedures that we need to come up with and, quite frankly, insist that they follow it. And there should be a standard day of the month that they close. We should have had every station should have been closed by no later than the 18th, as an example. And said, yes, I'm ready, because we do ask them, do you have everything? We're getting ready to run the financials. So all we're wanting is approval. And quite frankly, the 18th would have been the very last day. Everything should have been in by the 13th of November. That would have given us plenty of time to review, be able to explain the variances, reach out to the stations when we have questions. The way that we're doing it now, we have no opportunity for that. That's all I'm saying.
Well, we have deadlines, and we're asking for certain reports from you, but you're saying that the stations are not giving you what you need so you can meet those deadlines. Is that correct?
Correct. But in this case, it was just one station, correct.
Okay. All right, well, I'm very curious as to what station that is, but I guess I won't ask for it in a public
meeting. Mr. Chair, I call for the order of the day.
Thank
yes,
you.
Our Paul. Yes, okay, so the order of the day is we have a motion on the floor we only had a motion to, so this motion is on the floor, so now we have to go to a vote on it. We already took care of the minutes, so this is just a motion on the wording of this to go ahead to go to the PNB. So.
Okay. Let me read what I have.
Go ahead, yes, please. Thank you.
The NFC requests that the PNB pass the following motion. In order to promote transparency, it is resolved that all stations will scan copies of their daily bank deposits to NETA for verification or review. Okay, and please answer up when you hear your name, Sharon Adams.
Yes.
Teresa J. Allen.
Yes.
Nick Arena. Fred Blair?
Yes.
Chris Corey?
Yes.
Dwayne Lark? Harpo Martin, yes. James Sagerton?
Yes.
Anita Sims?
Yes.
Nancy Sorden?
Yes.
Alina Vasilyev, I think, has left. Dwayne Lark?
Yes.
Okay. All right. 9-4-0 against.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And now I believe you've called for the orders of the day, and that means we are adjourned. Thank you very much, everyone, and thank you, Anita.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you,
Anita. Thank you. Good night.
Good night.